Well, my beloved, I want to share with you some thoughts that came to me when I was doing my daily devotion. And right now I'm in the book of Ruth. And it's been a very inspiring story for me. And there's like a theme that keeps leaping out of the pages at me. And that theme has to do with a word called kindness. And it's such a contrast in what I see in the world today.
Right.
Of course, it's not across the board, but it's, you can see folks seem like they're on edge.
Yes.
They're angry. Mm-hmm. Don't take much to set them off.
Yeah. That's right.
Look at you strange and want to like just cause controversy and stir stuff up.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's just outright hatred.
Yeah.
Insensitivity.
Yeah.
Well, today's sermon is to remind us to be not conformed to this world, but be us transformed by
yes.
the renewing of our minds. That's where we are. In other words, don't be of the world.
Right.
You can be in the world, but don't be of it.
Of the world.
Don't let it shape you as to who you are. And that's going to be the focal point of today's message. So I'm going to invite Deacon Smith, he was come forward and to read us the book of Ruth, starting at chapter 1, verses 1 through 14.
Amen.
Amen. Those of you who have your Bible, please turn there so you can read along. Ruth, chapter 1, verse 1.
Ruth, chapter 1. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife was Naomi, and the name of his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, Ephraimites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. And they took for them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other, Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion also died, also both of them. And the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people, giving them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her. And they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, Go, return each to your mother, to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that you may find rest, each of you in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, Surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, Turn again, my daughters. Wilt thou go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb, that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters. Go your way. For I am too old to have a husband. If I should say, I have hope, if I should have a husband also tonight, and should also bear sons, would you tarry for them till they were grown? Would you stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kiss her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. I've read Ruth chapter 1, verse 1 through 14. May the Lord have a blessing to the hearing, reading, and doing of his word.
Amen. 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 Thank you, Deacon Smith, for so masterfully reading the text that we'll be drawing on today. And my beloved, for what was just shared for your hearing, if I was to give it a title for today's message, it would be a simple word, and that word is kindness. Kindness. Let us pray. Precious God Almighty, we thank you for the ability to run on anyhow in spite of the difficulties we're encountering today. But our mind is focused on you, and we're not going to be dissuaded or turned away. Oh God, move among those that are assembled today and those that shall hear this message online, either today or in the future. Open up hearts, God, and open up ears that each may receive from you that which you want to impart. Use me as you see fit in this moment, God, to speak these words you've inspired in my heart, to share them in hopes that it will equip us for this race that we run to the very end. This is my prayer to my God, asking in the name of my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ. And the saints said, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And an amen. Amen. My beloved, the opening passages of Ruth, we find that it occurs in the time of Judges. Now, I got to point this out to you so we have some context. In this time of Judges, it is a terrible time to live. There's some bad stuff going on, wickedness and insanity that's taking place. And it's a very crazy period. I mean, you just look at Judges 21 and 25, it kind of tells you what's going on. It says, in those days, there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Can you imagine living in America and you decide you're going to drive on the left-hand side of the road and everybody else going to drive on the right-hand side because you're doing what's right to you. Forget about what everybody else wants. It creates confusion and chaos. That's this time period we're talking about with them. It was a time period of wickedness, of abuse and violence and cruelty and selfishness. I know I'm talking, you think I'm talking about today, right? I know,
yeah.
I know, I know. But back in this day, God's people were not acting very godly, to be honest. So let me give you just one example. In the book of Judges, in chapter 20, you'll find a story about a woman who died after being raped so horribly and cruelly. She was raped and she died. And the next morning, her husband found her on the doorstep and he scooped her up, took her in the house, and he cut her into pieces. And he sent the pieces off to the various tribes to try to provoke a war against the tribe that was responsible for this ill act. I'm telling you, it was a horrible time. You cut her up into pieces? Why not give her a decent burial and send messengers out to give the word and say what happened?
Right.
It was a strange time of people doing what they wanted to and how they wanted to do it. And I could cite more examples of this craziness that was going on then. But this, in summary, they were idol worshipers. They were rebelling against God and doing what they wanted to do as any way they want to. I think the old phrase was, bad enough to do what you want. That's what was going on in this time. And this is Naomi's time and the time that the story centers around her story and her family. To make things worse about this time period, a famine has come into the land. And so there wasn't much in her homeland by which they could sustain themselves, so they departed and went to a place where they had more substance. And there, while they were there taking care of their needs, Naomi's husband dies. The patriarch of the family, now gone, and it's just her and her sons, are living there. So the sons take to themselves wives of that area. They get married. In 10 years, they enjoy life together, and then both of her sons die. You see the picture? We have now three women left by themselves to fend for themselves in this time period of cruelty and harshness. That's a lot to ask.
Yeah.
You would say that time period didn't seem very kind. Now, did it, Rev? No, it didn't. It seemed very difficult. But what came out of that, the response to it, was kindness. Ruth, looking at the situation that she was in with her daughter-in-laws, she thought it was not right that they stunt their life to be with her, and she felt that she wanted to sacrifice and send them off back home to their father's house or back to their kin so they could find a new husband and get on with their life. That's an act of kindness. In fact, I'm going to stop calling her daughter-in-laws, because we don't do that in my family. We don't do the in-law thing. You're either a daughter or a son. There ain't no such thing as a daughter-in-law or son-in-law. And so Ruth's daughters were urged to go back. A man that broke their heart. They cried and they wept with her. They didn't want to. And they first said, no, we can't leave you. But she insisted. She said, wait a minute now, let's just be honest. I'm an old woman, and I can't give you new sons. I can't give my sons to you, new sons. And even if I could, would you wait around long enough for them to be at the marrying age? No, go back to your folk, be married, get on with your life. And we find out that there's one named Orpah who cried and wept, and she left. Now, you might say, well, that didn't seem so kind. It seemed like she should have stayed. Well, that's one view. I could take a different perspective, and I could say she didn't want to be a burden on her mother-in-law anymore, and she decided, okay, at least you won't have to worry about me. So she left. Then we have the other one. Her name is what?
Ruth.
Ruth takes a different position. Ruth says, no, I can't leave you in this state. If you go back to your kinfolk, I'll go with you. That your people will be my people and your God will be my God. Now, we know that that's another act of kindness, where she didn't want to see her mother-in-law fend for herself. She felt a sense of ownership in making sure that she was cared for. Wow. Now, I've said these things about kindness, but I didn't give you a definition. Kindness. I've read somewhere that kindness as depicted in the Bible is rooted in love, compassion, and a genuine concern for the well-being of others. Somebody say kindness.
Kindness.
And I would say certainly Naomi demonstrated that. She loved her daughters immensely. She was willing to go it alone so they might be able to have a better life. She was generous, but whatever she had, she shared with them, even though her son and husband were gone. And she was concerned about their long-term welfare. Go home. Go start your life or get your life going again. I don't see that any different than most parents. They want their children to prosper and do better than they have. That's like an inclination within us. It's like inherent in us to want to see our children do better. So she longed for them to do better. There's more to this Naomi story. For when she decided to return to her homeland, we find that she journeyed with Ruth to that homeland. And Ruth continued to take care of her mother-in-law. Oop, there I did that in-law thing. To take care of her mother. Sorry, Mom, if you're listening to this message. Ruth took care of her mother in all of this. And people noticed her kindness. In fact, there was one gentleman that noticed her kindness. He liked what he saw. Now, this gentleman was well off. He was doing well, and he sees this, and he decides, that one right there, that's the one I want. And we know, in fast-forwarding the story, he eventually marries Ruth, and her story is something to behold. You see, her kindness was rewarded with marriage to another man, an honorable man, a good man. God is so good. The kindness that she demonstrated also helped provide for her and her mother-in-law. Y'all know what I'm talking about. So kindness is oftentimes rewarded. But did you know also that she is in the lineage of Jesus Christ? Wow, what an honor. Can you see what kindness can do? So we find that she was kind, and her kindness came back to her. Now, there are other stories in the Bible that talks about kindness. What about Jonathan and David? Without going to the story very deeply, basically, Jonathan's dad didn't like David very much, and he wanted to take David out. And Jonathan and David formed this kindness covenant. Because Jonathan knew that David was going to be anointed, or was anointed, the next king. So that means that Jonathan's dad had to be put out of the scene so that David could take over. Jonathan knew that, and he said, you know, but we're friends, we're close. And so let's form this covenant. He and David formed this covenant. And as the story goes, Jonathan gets killed in battle. But David remembers this kindness covenant with Jonathan's son named Mephibosheth. That's 2 Samuel chapter 9. These are, you might say, okay, Pastor, those are nice stories. Okay, they're good. But what about me? And all I can say is I'm glad you asked that question. Romans 12 and 10 says, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. See, I think God knew we were going to struggle with each other. And the word needed to remind us how we're supposed to behave as we interact and exchange with one another. I heard it earlier. Somebody said, I'm not a visitor. I'm a member of the family. And so we find that this family of Naomi, including Ruth and Orpah and her and Ruth's sons and her husband, was that family unit that knit together and worked together and loved together. Oh, what a beautiful picture. And we find the friendship of Jonathan and David and how they were knit together and worked together and supported one another. And then God tells us that's what we're supposed to do. But you know, God didn't stop there. He's like, okay, you think that's hard. Wait till you hear what else I want you to do. Because Jesus said, no, I probably shouldn't say this. Can I tell y'all what Jesus said?
Yes.
It's gonna make you have to work harder. You okay?
All right.
Jesus said, ye have heard that it had been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Okay, Jesus, I can kind of like deal with church folk. We can work through that. But now you tell me I got to love my enemies too? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And why? Why, Lord, put so much on us? Well, some people might say, well, okay, I'll be kind because of the rewards I can get. You know, God certainly blessed Ruth and Naomi. Maybe he'll bless me too if I'm kind to other people. But I want to encourage you to not be kind to folk because of what you think you can get in return. That's the wrong intent to do that. No, that's not what we want to do. But keep in mind this though. Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God.
Yes.
That peacemaking is another way of saying, be kind.
Yep.
And then you'll be called the children of God? That means you looking like God's siblings. Not siblings, it's children. Where did I get siblings from? You're looking like God's children. If you are a peacemaker, if you are kind to others. Now, I remember being told that when I was first born, somebody told my dad, "You can't deny that ain't your baby, because he looked just like you." That's what they ought to be saying about us with the Heavenly Father. That we look just like him in the way that we respond to people and how we bless as he has blessed us. Are you looking like the Heavenly Father? You might take a, you might have a bone to pick and say, "Well, I'm just trying to look like Jesus. Why I got to do all that?" Well, Jesus said, "If you see me, you already seen the Father."
That's right.
So either way, pick either one you want to, you're going to look like the Father.
That's right. Either one.
So the proof of whether you look like the Father is this question. When was your last act of kindness? I'm going to let that sit with you just a moment. Your last act of kindness. When was that? If you have to think hard, there's room for improvement.
Yes.
You see, my beloved, we should be kind daily, in and out, throughout the day, as much as lies within us. You know why? Because somebody out there is experiencing famine, just like Ruth and her family, Naomi and her family went through. Somebody is experiencing a famine in their life, a harshness, a difficulty that they're experiencing. And through our kindness, we can soften the blow of harshness. Now you might say, "Okay, Rev, all right, you got me. I'm gonna try to be more kind, but can you give me some ideas about how to do that?" Well, I think a clue is given to us found in the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 31 and 32, it says this. Listen up. "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor," or disorder, "and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another." Can I say that again? "And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God your for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Guess what? The greatest time to demonstrate kindness is when you don't believe the other person deserves it. Can I say that again?
Yes. Yeah.
The greatest time to demonstrate kindness is when you don't think the other person deserves it. Which makes me ask the question, why is it sometimes we can be more kind to a stranger than a member of our own household? It's called selective kindness, I think. Kind of pick and choose. But what if God was like that? What if God was just selective with us in his kindness, his mercies that he provides to us? What if he says, "I'm only going to be merciful to you when you're merciful. I'm only going to be kind to you when you're kind. I'm only going to be good to you when you're good. Only then." Oh, man, we'd be in a hurt. And he's asking to be kind like me. He's kind all the time. His mercies are new every day. In Luke chapter 6, verse 33, Jesus said this. "And if you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have you? For sinners also do even the same." They do that. Can you like do it just a little bit better? He goes on to say, "But love ye your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again." For all those that have lent something, said, "When they gonna pay me?" He goes on to say, "And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be children of the Most Highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil." He's saying, be like me. Jesus goes on to say, "Be ye merciful as your Father also is merciful." My beloved, just be God's offspring. See, true kindness springs forth from the understanding that the way in which we have been treated by God through Jesus Christ. That's where it can come from. That's an originating thing. Proverbs 25 and 21 says, if thy enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat. Okay, we heard what Jesus said in the New Testament. Did you know that branch all the way back into Old Testament?
Yeah.
That proverb goes on to say, give him bread to eat, and if he be thirsty, give him water to drink. For thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head, and the Lord shall reward thee. Now, I understand. Sometimes it's difficult to be kind-hearted. I get it. I've been there. I know. It may be difficult because of personal loss or injury you experienced from another person. That hurt may have isolated you from them and you keep your distance. The abuse may have even paralyzed you where you just can't muster up the kindness that's required. You might be angry and it consumes you with that anger. No, they don't deserve it. I ain't being kind. You might get to a place where the hurt has been so deep, you get to the place you just want to wipe the dust off your feet and be done with it. The mistreatment that you've experienced might make you want to withdraw and distance yourself from that person. And all of this may lead to you want to retaliate, get back, get your revenge. But my beloved, I want to remind you that the Lord says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, and I will repay. We don't have to worry about getting anybody back. Keep being kind and look like the Father, because God's got all of that under control. So we find that I'm talking about being kind, and watch that thing, that bitterness that sometimes prevents us from doing that. But the truth be told, Naomi had a little bit of bitterness that she was experiencing. For we find as we read forward into Ruth chapter 1, verse 20, she tell her kinfolk, don't call me Naomi, call me Mara. Because she said that the Lord had dealt bitterly to her. And she felt bitterness. Yes, Naomi and her daughters lost a lot. But look at what Naomi gained in response. Amen. In my mind, she got a ride and die friend in Ruth.
Yes.
Where you go, I'm with you. What you go through, I'm there. We're doing this thing together. This whole thing proved to Naomi, Ruth, there's somebody sticking with me through thick and thin. Anybody have that kind of friend in their life that stick with you through thick and thin? That's good if you do, but if you don't, I want to let you know, Jesus is that kind of friend. He's the one that said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Ah, oh. My. And then we know that Ruth's kindness is also rewarded because she got that husband. She got her name named in the book of Matthew about being in Jesus' lineage. And her kindness was clearly rewarded. But again, let me remind you, we're not kind to people because what we expect to get in return. We're kind to them because of what God has already done for us. You might say, well, what has God done for me? You know, I can't pay my bills. I'm struggling. My children are crazy. Whatever it is. And I'm saying to you, what he did for you is he died for you. If you just imagine for a moment the death and the pain and the suffering he encountered so that you would not have to. There's no greater act of kindness than this. That a man lay down his life for his friend. And Jesus certainly did that for us. So don't be like the people today around us. They're combating, they're rude, they're selfish, they're cruel, they're on edge. No, be like our Heavenly Father. Keep kindness in the forefront of how we operate and move in this world. Because my beloved, people will see your good works And it's an opportunity to glorify our Father who is in heaven. Commit to do acts of kindness every day. Just make your mind up. Okay, I got no money to give the guy on the corner that is holding up the sign, "We're willing to work. Can you please help me?" I don't have any money to give him. What I can do is say to him, "God bless you, I'll pray for you." That's an act of kindness. Let me share with you, as I come to a close, another story of kindness. And this one is near and dear to my heart. It involves my own mother. Growing up in a city near Chicago called Rockford, life was hard. It was difficult. And so was life inside the home. For inside this home, my dad was a good guy 5 days a week, but when you get to the weekend, he became a different man. He would drink. Dad would leave Friday morning to go to work, and we wouldn't see him till late Sunday night, getting back in just to get sleep before he go back to work and start the cycle all over again. And whenever Dad got a little taste in him, he was a violent man. And my mother had been battered. Sometimes we were. Now, this isn't to pick on my dad, because I thank God that he got all of that straight. God cleared his mind, and God brought him into the new light, and my dad became saved. But in this time period, it was difficult. My mother had left him several times, but because she couldn't make it with four boys by herself, she had to keep coming back. And then one day, she got enough strength to say, "This is the last time I'm leaving." Because she was afraid who was going to kill who in that house. So she left. That was the thing. To really put this in proper context, you have to know this about my mother. She loved my daddy. Can I say that again? She loved my daddy. She would worship the ground he walked on. Even today, my mother be 94 this year. Whenever she talks about him, she lights up. Her eyes twinkle, and she smiles. And she'll say, "I love that man." Even today. My beloved, I'm talking about an act of kindness. So my dad had cancer. He was on his deathbed. My mother heard about this. And she flew from Arkansas to Illinois to be at his side before he died. And while there, she would read him scriptures. She would pray over him. She would say words of encouragement. There were times my dad wasn't even conscious, but she still did that faithfully until he passed away. Now, in my mind, that's an act of kindness. When you don't have any real reason that the person gave you to be that kind, because certainly my dad wasn't that, but by the grace of God, how he stirred her heart, the love that she had made her give of herself in that way. And why not? Because it pleased the Almighty. That's why we're kind. If he blesses us back, amen, hallelujah. But if he doesn't, he's already done more than I've done for myself. He died for me. That ought to be more than enough. So as I come to the close of this message, simply put, this word kindness, let's make that be spoken of us. So that one day, if we should leave this planet, that would be in our obituary. I can say one thing about this brother. I can say one thing about that sister. I don't care what you say about their past. They were kind to me. My beloved, that's where we want to be. That we would look like our Father, which is in heaven. Amen?
Amen.
If that message touched your heart at all, let's give God the glory. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.